Welcome to All Things Health and Abundance Podcast. This is a podcast where we discuss different health and abundance related issues and come with real tips and advice. Today, together with Robin, we are going to discuss breathwork, how breathwork affects us, our whole being, how breathwork can help us integrate our emotions, deal with our traumas. I have to say that I really loved recording this episode. That's because I met a Robin that was totally real and raw, who showed himself as he is, no masks, no perfectionism. And this is not something I come across every day. And I hope, I really hope you also enjoy listening to this episode. Robin transitioned from extreme sports such as skateboarding, kitesurfing, gymnastics, free running, gradually into meditation, breathwork, and plant medicines. For over a decade, he has been making his own music, traveling the whole world, connecting with people through music, dance, and playfulness. Outside of the music scene, his continuous self-explorative work led him to breathwork. His life shifted rather radically upon realizing the power to control our health and emotional state that we unlock just by breathing in certain ways. Deeply inspired, he put his body and mind through 6 months of wild experimenting and playing with the breath on his own before he found himself in Czech Republic studying breathwork. Additionally, he joined a course with a legendary breathworker Dan Brulé in Oslo. And for 2.5 years, he has been facilitating large groups as well as individual breathwork, movement, sound journey experiences around the world. Through his own personal work, in combination with evolving with his audience, a mission to be of service to the best of his ability has been established itself. I am really honored and super excited to have you here on the podcast, Robin. Both your music and breathwork are really powerful, and I'm looking forward to talking more about it.
Hi, Ada. Yeah, thanks for inviting me. I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad you're enjoying the music and the breathing.
Yeah, I think it's amazing. Can you tell us a bit more about yourself, your journey, and your work?
Ooh, yeah.
Where to start, right?
Yeah, where to start. But music has always been there since very early on. And for some reason, I managed to take the decision in 2009 to follow this, to just go for the biggest hobby that's just been around, my biggest strongest passion. So I started studying music and started producing my own music in 2009. So it's since then that's when it got more kind of serious, or I went for it. And I think music and being more and more on stage and bigger stages and in front of more and more people has it kind of I remember always after a few years, I was always in this, how can I connect more? How can I find a deeper or a stronger connection with these, all these people in front of me? And so I guess there was a sense of disconnection then, or a sense of us not fully merging or fully something. There was this nagging feeling of dissatisfaction, like kind of present with me most of the time. And after, so this is especially when I started playing my own music only. So that's what I do since 7 years maybe. And then it got potentiated, I think, because then it was just me and my music, and I made every little note in that track, in every track that I played, and being very like, I have like almost traumatic memories of people in the crowd like coming up and like, when are you gonna start playing? When I'm playing like my best, my favorite track of my own and stuff like this. And yeah, I was every now and then I was in big clubs where the crowd is obviously expecting like thumping faster music. and I start playing my slower and melodic and yeah, a bit, what to call it? It's kind of going here and there. A bit too much might be happening for some dance floors. Yeah. I think why I brought this sense of dissatisfaction and connection or lack thereof, why I brought that was kind of because I think once I stumbled upon breathwork, especially when I did my first session, and then I had one first experience that just, holy shit, what is this? And that's just shifted the course of my life quite abruptly. I was traveling a lot, and I remember doing breathwork in everywhere, in hotel rooms, in by the pool, by the river somewhere, in the jungle or in the city.
So where was your first breathwork? In which city or country?
This was at Burning Man in 2016, I think.
Okay, at Burning Man. Okay, I see.
And I didn't know it was a breathwork. So it was a gong bath. And I just went in and lay down and like, okay. And then he started instructing us to breathe quite heavily. And we did maybe 4 or 5 rounds of a couple of minutes of really heavy breathing.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I just went for it fully.
I can imagine.
Yeah, and then he got us screaming along with the gong as he worked it up, like really. And we were 20, 30 people just screaming. And I didn't know like what was really happening.
Yeah.
But at some moment, my whole being kind of bursts. So I didn't have any emotional concept or label to what was happening, but tears were just like a fountain out of me, and it felt like every cell opened. And I was quite surprised, to put it mildly.
Well, I was quite surprised in my first breath work with you as well. It was the same.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that I was dying, muscles twitching or something, and right. Then tears coming. Actually, every time it has been tears coming, so I can relate to all the breath words I've had with you, so I can imagine.
Yeah, it's fascinating when tears just start coming, and I'm not feeling sad, I'm not feeling like, there might be sadness or whatever, but sadness or any emotional label, it's, as I see it now, it's useful for definitely useful, of course, otherwise we wouldn't have them, but what it comes down to is a sensation. We're feeling something in our body, and we can get down to being with it in a way where we're just staying at the level of sensation and just exploring sensation after sensation and how it moves and how it's subtly changing in our bodies, and just by being in this feeling process and like detached from stories and detached even from emotional concepts, then tears can start streaming.
and
we don't have to know why, really. Our task is more to just be there and feel it as intimately and as honestly as we can, and welcome this whatever is happening in our body, allow it to flow through and not stop it, not resist it. But this is really hard.
It is hard because sometimes, there are those moments when you think that it can be, it's so powerful that you feel that it can actually get dangerous for your existence, because it is that powerful. Or at least I can relate to what I'm saying, at least that's my experience.
Yeah.
It's not easy to completely let go.
No, once upon a time when we had this feeling, for example, when we were a couple of years old or at that around that time,
mm-hmm.
and we might have had a caretaker in with all good intention, but that that may have shushed us, like, shh, don't cry, or don't do this.
Mm-hmm.
And even if it was just a minor event at that age, we're just in this lower brainwave frequency, picking up everything as the truth.
It's tracking everything, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So our sense of self, it becomes our sense of self, but also just our body, our nervous system forms by all these little moments. Okay, if when I feel this, I get this reaction from, like, I get less love, basically. I don't get the love and support. So it becomes like a split. I have to, because as a baby, I'm always in this natural, just feeling and being in the process. And then if I get stopped in that process again and again, I learn to stop my own natural process. In a way, so that becomes it becomes ingrained. So right now, today, for example, I'm having kind of a process going on, and and it's like I can feel this cry. Basically, that's my experience, that there's a cry stuck, and I can't really, I don't have an experience of resisting it, but I can kind of get in touch with a tension in my body. So something like my body is kind of holding like a really strong resistance, like a guard against this feeling. Mm. And even though I know consciously, I should just relax, I can just breathe into it, feel it and relax. But it's like, it's really hard work because I have a whole life of doing the opposite.
From early childhood, actually.
Yeah, that's how I see it, at least.
Wow. So it's basically traumas.
Yeah, yeah,
for from sure. When we are whatever, how many months old,
yeah,
and they continue building up.
Yeah. So we're all traumatized.
Yeah, for sure we are.
At least I subscribe to this view. I know Gabor Mate puts it like the capital T trauma with a big T. That's the trauma. Yeah, we know all the major events. Or the really severe events. But then the little T trauma, that's kind of what we're talking about here. All these minor little events where we stop our natural expression, or just what's coming through, and we learn that, okay, we're not safe to do that. So we're changing. We're either, maybe we just get a, what's it called? The thing you get in your mouth when you're a baby. I don't know.
The pacifier, I think, pacifier, right?
Pacifier, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, yeah, we did that in order not to cry.
Yeah, or anything. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. If you just get, like, with all good intention again, but when you get stopped in your process. So actually, I've really been enjoying some friends that got a baby this year, last year.
Mm.
And they, I didn't know that it existed, but it's a way of just differentiating between cries. So they, if I remember it correctly, there's like one cry for food, and one cry for heat, or that is too hot or too cool. Maybe there's another cry, a third cry. Either way.
Yeah, but babies are smart enough to actually show you if you pay attention, to actually show you what they need.
Yeah. And then, so then also there's one cry that, okay, it's just, it's a process. Like it's perfectly temperature. It's full of food. It's like, it's got everything. It's safe and content, but something is like moving through. So if you check, that's what they did. I hope I can like recall it in a way that doesn't sound like they're abusing their baby. but it was really beautiful to witness, and that if this process crying that just needs to happen, they really just they get in there and they just stay really close to the baby and hold it and make sure it feels like it's got its caretaker's fullest and most loving presence. But it's also a presence that doesn't interfere anything with the process of the baby. So the baby gets to learn that it's like, it's okay to go through, and it can get, it's okay to go through a process, and that it's Yeah, that it's natural to let it happen.
That's beautiful. We all go through processes, even babies.
Yeah.
I can actually see my son going through processes. He's soon turning two and he's going through full moon processes. Full moon is a big thing here. It's a Pisces and yeah, it's a big thing at home.
Okay.
So I can actually see my two-year-old going through processes. It's amazing.
Yeah. How do you see that it's a process, or like what gives you the...
Well, it is quite, it's easier now that he's two rather than when he was a baby.
Yeah.
But I do follow on the moon because I realized that the moon affects him a lot. So I do follow when it's full moon and new moon, and I know that he will be more irritable and sometimes even asking for his own space, like being in the room on his own, which is very tough to always allow that. Yeah. But I've made sure that the room is safe. He actually goes in the room, shuts the door, and wants to be there for a couple of minutes. And I know it sounds crazy. It's a two-year-old. But that happens especially during the full moon. Sometimes on new moon as well, but especially on full moon period. Or those days around full moon.
And do you know what he does?
So, yeah. I don't have a camera in there. I'm behind the door, though, making sure that he's fine. And giving him the space. And then after a couple of minutes, he just calls mama.
Oh.
And yeah, but they really do have processes.
Yeah.
They really do. I wasn't that aware when he was a baby, though.
Hmm.
But more aware now that they do have processes and they are affected by energies. And yeah, and they suck everything we do and they imitate us. Like, I see him doing yoga, basically. So, yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah. But does this mean that actually, okay, we're all traumatized. But when you go through that process, I guess you have dealt with a conscious trauma, the trauma with a big T, or with most of it. But when you go through these small things, how do you actually deal with it? Do memories come to your mind while you're going through it? While working with your breath? Or is it just, okay, I know there's something there and I'm working through it, even without consciously knowing what it is?
As I do breathwork sessions and in the style that I practice and teach nowadays, it's very much, I don't know what it is. Or that's again, I wanna, in that process, I stay at the level of sensation as much as I can. And there might come insights and memories and stories and geometric shapes and whatever. But but I try to, they can be helpful, but they can also be kind of distracting. And they are not needed. That's what I see is the most, it's one fundamental really and insightful thing that I don't need to understand. I don't need to know the memory of it to heal it. I just need to feel whatever is happening in my body. And I usually notice something. So basically this process that I'm talking about, we breathe only to support feeling awareness. So I breathe a little deeper to get more access to feelings in the body, to get a stronger sense of the felt sense of the body. So I breathe to feel more. I breathe to get access to feelings. And I tune in whatever feeling in the body. And with feeling, I mean anything. If it's just the pressure of something or a mosquito bite, like any physical sensation that is the strongest, is kind of is the gateway to the felt sense of your body. So you can do it at any, wherever you're at, you can really enter the felt sense of your body through whatever you're feeling. If you're just sitting on something and you feel you start there. Yeah. And the more you open up to what's already here in the moment, however mundane it may seem and unimportant or even uninteresting and boring, you just keep going, keep breathing deeper and keep relaxing in the presence of what you're experiencing in your body. And usually we bump up, if we keep going with this, we bump into something like, you might just notice, you might just notice a subtle little shift in like, it doesn't it's not really nice anymore to do this. Or, oh, I don't want to breathe this fully. Ugh. It's like, so there's, or it might be more obvious, like something is tensing up. Oh, there's this, this tension here in my chest or anywhere. Or even just like, this, holy crap, this body part is like, is totally blank. It's numb. I can't feel it there.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually the strongest feeling. This is very common too, that it's just numbing out. And then, yeah, I not in the process, but that's how I see these feelings that come up that I don't feel good about. I view these as like the remnants, the residue of these little T traumas. It's all these feelings that come up. It's basically, feelings are something, it's a physical, it's just a pattern of energy moving through our body. If we can come back to that kind of fundamental understanding, at least that's how I view it. It's quite similar to Vipassana, if you know Vipassana.
Yeah, of course. I have done it, yeah.
There's a slight difference that in Vipassana, you sit in equanimity, total equanimity with any sensation, but you are always staying at the level of sensation. And in this process, I use the breathing to intensify the sensations to get more access.
Mm.
And I also stay with the strongest sensation. And whenever that has a chance to integrate and I get to relax in the presence of that, maybe another sensation comes up. So I'm always like with the strongest sensation.
Until it resolves.
Yeah, until it resolves, until I manage to like actually open up to this feeling. Because I am in a state of resistance. That's kind of, that is what... Yeah. What creates this yucky feeling of...
Because you're resisting it. Okay, that's what it is.
Well, that's
understand.
How I see it. So it's not the feeling. The feeling is just a feeling. It's just coming up and wants to be felt and move through. I'm really subscribing to the idea that there is no negative feeling. What creates negativity is my resistance towards the feeling.
Because if you allow it to pass through.
Yeah, if we allow it to pass through, if you fully feel this feeling as purely a physical sensation in the body, it's not even neutral. It's actually like, holy shit, wow, it's like subtly changing and it's moving through my body. It's actually a powerful and a fascinating and an experience that we enjoy, that we can enjoy. Even if we're starting out by like, oh, this is painful, I don't want to feel this. But if we really get to tune that feeling in, and we can take support with the breath and guidance also, but if we just go intimately enough, close enough to this feeling, so we get to experience that it's not this yucky stuck thing, but it's actually there's little tiny movements, exactly like in Vipassana. We start to reveal, it starts to be revealed to us that it's actually moving already. It's like it's changing and moving already. And from there it kind of pops the bubble a bit for us, and we're like, oh wow, you know, from being in this totally kind of unconscious for us, but this state of resistance, we just notice a feeling that's uncomfortable.
Yeah. Are there different ways to work with your breath? Or you just take it as it
comes? In this process that I do, it's mainly inspired by a practice, a modality called Vivation, which is from a guy that came out of this rebirthing era in the late 70s, and he was deep into Buddhism and yoga as well. So I just wanted to mention that if anyone wants to look it up. But so
I will
use the breathing in in this practice quite intentionally. We usually breathe like a full and slow breath for as a baseline, but it's no specific tempo. It's your tempo, whatever feels good, basically, whatever feels good and relaxing to you, where you can maintain a tempo and a depth that feels comfortable to you without pushing or straining yourself. And then basically, if you want to feel more, breathe more. But we usually
with your mouth with or mouth. With your nose. Yeah, that's why I asked that, because I mean I know that, but in pranayama it's usually with the nose, so yeah, this nose is different. Like, yeah,
definitely for the standard that we want to use for most of the time. So mouth breathing, as I see it, is like for special occasions, for really moving to a healing window, like opening up to more.
Yeah.
Mm. So, but the main thing to remember, to understand in this practice is that I'm not breathing, like just going for it and breathing to space out or to get high or to access past life memories or anything like this. I am only breathing to support feeling awareness. So breathing.
That was so beautiful. Yeah. Not with an aim in mind.
Just an aim to feel. Basically. Mm-hmm. So breathing in this breathwork practice is secondary, actually. It's a feeling practice. This guy who founded it was actually hesitant or very resistant to call it breathwork for many years. So it's not really it is a breathwork for sure, but it's also a meditation. Mm. So while I can breathe full and fast and just go for it and get as intense as I want, that's all good and fine. But intensity can be great and can be fun, but it's not what's needed. So what's needed is that I get enough access to my feelings, that I can feel them in detail, where I can notice them subtly changing the whole time. It's all in the subtleties, in me just being in that energetic rapport, in that establish that connection with my feelings, where I'm just there and feeling it and receiving this feeling. So it's a total meditation. So I breathe enough where I can get that kind of access to feelings in my body, where the activity of the mind kind of fades into the background. But I don't need to like breathe full and fast for half an hour and just smash my awareness with feelings in my body. I can work. This is also beautiful with this practice. It's designed so I can work gently. I can be within my window of tolerance, so to speak, the whole time. So I can access or let unconscious feelings surface gradually, and I get to feel them while they're already subtle. Because I'm there with my awareness in my body, and I'm relaxing in the presence of what I'm feeling. I'm noticing the subtle changes as best as I can, and I'm even opening up to enjoying this feeling. I'm doing my best to savor this feeling. So I'm like,
beautiful. And what do you do when resistance shows up? When you really don't want to be there? Yeah. I ask because I can totally relate to that part.
Well, if I'm alone, this is what I can do with the if I'm alone is either like I can slow down the breath, of course. I can always focus more on the exhale and just and just step on the brake pedal, and that will kind of calm the system down. But again, moving with my awareness even closer to this feeling, wherever I feel the most in my body. So if I get into this state like, oh shit, I've breathed quite a lot, I've turned up the intensity maybe a little bit too much for what seems like I can handle right now, I feel afraid and frightened and unsafe. It's really hard at that point if we haven't practiced, of course, but the idea or how it works is in that moment, where do I feel it the most in my body? What's the strongest feeling in my body? Okay, it's actually my throat. There's something in my throat. Yeah. Okay. And I can use the breath. I can imagine that I'm inhaling through my throat, through the strongest feeling. So I'm really welcoming this feeling in even more. But I can get so intimate with this feeling. If I do this, for example, I inhale through it. So it's, I'm breathing it into my conscious awareness even more. In a way, it's becoming stronger, but I'm just I'm becoming more aware. I'm opening up to it more. So I'm doing the very opposite of what I've done my whole life, which is distracting myself, which is screaming or eating something or just doing anything but moving my awareness to the strongest feeling in my body. There's anything but that, because that's where I've felt unsafe or unsupported to do. So that's the last place I wanna go. So now I have this opportunity to use the breathing and my felt sense, and of course, maybe this if we still have some contact with it, but our adult sense of safety, our being grown up and like our higher self, yeah, perhaps. So I can tune in this feeling, get even deeper into this meditation with the feeling in my body. Okay, it's subtly moving and I'm inhaling through it. I notice even more details. And I can savor this as much as I can. Wow, all these fascinating little details. Like, and then relax as much as I can in the presence of this feeling. Again and again. And
wow.
So this may or may not work. It can be that it's too much. I can't relax. I'm stuck. I'm like, I can use my breathing in a more fast and shallow. So it's almost like I'm already kind of in a panic attack by just noticing this.
Wow.
Or that was kind of a little concept I'm putting to see if we can understand it. But it's so intense, yeah.
Perhaps. So it is that strong.
We get ourselves into these states by breathing more than we kind of are capable of integrating or relaxing in the presence of. It's kind of like meeting my system where it's at in that moment. I can go just 10, 15 seconds, and this fast and shallow, it lowers the intensity slightly and allows me to tune in the feeling again. It gives me a little bit more agency. So I can use this just 10, 15 seconds. I notice again, it's still here in my throat. I'm still with the throat. And then I... I can come down like that and start relaxing in the presence of this really intense feeling in my body. And maybe as I start to come down again and start relaxing and I'm still with my awareness on the feeling in my body, maybe it's allowed to integrate. It just, the feeling may stay the same or it may just move through. But what changes when we integrate feelings, or I use the word integrate, is that our relation to what we're feeling changes. So the feeling may stay the same or not, but I go from a place of resistance, basically, to acceptance, to welcoming.
That's so powerful. How has this changed your life?
That was a badass question, but all right, big question.
Well, you just said that you went from, you know, this place where, okay, I don't want to feel this, I distract myself. And I can relate to that. I've been practicing so many different things for such a long time, and I still do that, in total honesty. Right? But I can imagine that your life must have changed a lot. What do you think are the main changes?
Yeah, like what's most alive in me to answer right now? Maybe it's because I had a bit of a process here today. It's actually quite tough to be so aware that oh shit, I'm just seeing and feeling and noticing my body, like me or my nervous system, whatever you wanna call it, but like do all these things. And it's not like every now and then. Wow, it's quite constantly. It just keeps blowing my mind how much of this resistance and tension and stuff that I carry. It's quite, oh. So on one hand, it's kind of, yeah, it gets a lot. It's a lot to see, to become aware of, and also knowing that okay, now I have a tool, I have a practice here that's actually really effective and even quite pleasurable and enjoyable when I get good at it, because I'm tuning in feelings in my body in a way that it's actually fascinating and even pleasurable to feel. But that's kind of the when you're really good at it. So like just noticing that there's so much resistance in the body and contractions, and then knowing that, well, it's just something that wants to move through. It sounds so easy, but then it's so hard. Again, there's a whole lifetime of really having learned one way, which is suppressing or distracting and all this. But yeah, I'm feeling an impulse to put it in a bit more positive light. But I guess also it is really empowering, and it is really liberating, even though it is like a slow turning of a way of being that's really ingrained. It's a massive ship to shift direction of. But there is a sense of agency and freedom if I can just relax in the presence of the feeling of like not being there. You know, you start to see this thing on the horizon, like, oh, holy shit, I can just relax in the presence of everything. And then, holy shit, I'm so not able to do that. My body is like in quite a constant fight or flight, and it's just fighting and resisting and like, ah. Yeah, it feels really good to tap into that horizon view of like, wow. At the same time, it's like you have to hold that. While that might be an ideal or like some a nice place to be in, like life is happening right here, and can I enjoy this moment? It's like hold that too. And it's like, I think it has changed my life in a way that
it's beautiful.
Life is more interesting and it's more exciting. It's like it's always these days. It's always rich. That's my experience. It's like always fascinating. And I think that's much thanks to this practice. Like if it's not interesting, or if it's like if I'm bored, well, I'm just not paying attention.
Yeah, beautiful. That was really nicely put. If I'm bored, I'm just not paying attention. Wow. So it also affects your nervous system really deeply. I mean, traumas are in our brain and in our body, obviously.
Yeah.
It affects the nervous system, right? And it seems like it goes really into the deep tissues of the brain.
I'm not the one to talk about how deep it goes into your brain, but in a very concrete way. But of course, if this starts in as we talked about earlier, in an age where we are just shaped by every little event in a way that it is, we are. I think we're like almost completely in, what is it, delta and then theta, these brainwave states that we just pick up things, we pick up everything, and it's just truth. And our nervous system, our brains, everything is shaped. So I guess that's why it's a big ship to turn. So we have to really cultivate gentleness with ourselves as we begin a process of this, of doing this, of actually moving towards our feelings.
I love it. I simply love it. I feel like this is an episode I won't even need to edit. It's really good. I simply love it. How can people get in touch with you, basically? And I've seen on the website that there is some online courses coming up. I'm looking forward to those, definitely. How can people get in touch with you, and how can you...
Me and my partner's project is OYNS, O-Y-N-S, abbreviation for Optimizing Your Nervous System.
Oh, that's what it stands for. Yeah, I think I read it somewhere, but somehow, yeah, I didn't have it in my short-term memory right now. Okay, so Optimizing Your Nervous System, yeah.
Right now we have 2 week-long retreats every year here in Norway. We have one now next week. So we have 16, 18. Yeah, we have 18 participants.
That from is sold out. The world. I noticed.
It's usually like that. It's a very mixed crowd. So people are coming from, from the States and from around Europe and Singapore and maybe 40-50% Norwegians. And it's usually a mixed crowd of 50-50 men and women and all kinds of walks of life. but everyone coming with this like, okay, I'm ready to shift something. I'm ready to go within, or like to really, yeah, there's this readiness and curiosity and like, let's do it. So next retreat is in September, and all information about this is on our website, OYNS, N-O. And then every other Wednesday, we have a free online session where you can just put your headphones on and give yourself this dose of self-love with our guidance. And you just go to our website and you can sign up there and you receive the Zoom link. Right now we have a little break, but the dates are on the website as well. And then we just set up a virtual weekend retreat, we call it. So we have distilled down the most essential parts of our retreats, our full-length immersive retreats, to 4 online modules. So this breathwork practice that I've talked a bit about today, it's at the heart of our retreats, but it's a lot of other practices of meditation, movement, humming, singing, moving, shaking, dancing, relating, ice bathing. And it's all viewed through the lens of your nervous system. What's happening? How do we befriend ourselves as nervous systems being constantly activated and relaxed and activated and moving on this? And what does this enable us? Why is this important? To get to know ourselves like this, to get to know when we are activated and when we are relaxed. How can this influence us being with ourselves and how we show up with others in the world? And how can we, when and how should we, can we self-regulate? Because it's within our power. Even though it is a big shift, it is a big ship to shift course with. So this virtual weekend retreat, it's actually not on our website yet, but it's May 10 to 12. And you can just email us or get in touch and we'll... And it's the most affordable event we have set up so far, by far. So we're doing a little different approach here and just making it really accessible.
I'm really considering now the virtual retreat, since I cannot just travel right now, leave my 2-year-old and go to the normal retreat. Interesting. Do you have any last messages for people listening to this that are maybe interested in breath work?
I don't know
where to start, or actually any last message.
No, what's alive in me right now is that it feels, I feel really content. I feel really soft, and it's been really nice to talk a bit. I was actually in an hour ago, like, oh, should I cancel this because I'm not in the mood to talk. I'm like, oh, I've been in this process the whole day, and it's like,
I had the feeling about that. I thought you were gonna cancel and we were not talking about this. Yeah,
it's I opened something up that has been hard to access for a couple of years, and I got to open it up last Friday, so that's a couple of days ago, and there it's like a bit of a Pandora's box, it seems. So that's also the thing, as we talked about before, we can open up to quote unquote too much. But maybe like a message that pops up now is like, I went into this with the mindset of I come from extreme sports, and I had this whole mindset of just maximizing and pushing, and that I'm sure that's another discussion. But that I view that nowadays is that it surely comes also from these little t traumas that I got so extreme. But that's also a mindset that I got into breath work with. And I think the message would be to just go intense for sure, go push it, then but then balance. That's something I'm learning every day, to just come down between, to let the body rest between. There's no adaptation, there's no change if we can't get enough rest after a stressor. It's also just this fundamental understanding, like, we can't just push and push and push. We need to have these bouts of rest and restoration and solidifying and
embodying. Okay, I have one small question that just popped up in my mind that I really would like to ask. What would you tell to people? It's the last one, I promise. What would you tell to people that say that they do not have any trauma? And believe me, I've met quite some of them.
Sorry, I started laughing because I was like that. It's not many years that I was like, I was so lucky. I just got, I was just skateboarding through childhood, and I managed to to escape it all, or to just be on the sidelines and just become this happy adult. Like, wow, how amazing.
Oh, so nice that I asked this then. Okay.
Yeah, that's quite funny. What do I say to those? I think I don't. I tend to say less and less. But I'm just staying present. Like, we all have our journeys. If someone told me that I was as traumatized as anyone else those years ago, I would probably be like, no, not really. Obviously, it's not. I'm not feeling it, so it's not real. I don't think I even have the right to say that. I mean, I do in lectures and courses talk about what we have talked about, like that we're all traumatized. but to tell someone like directly, it's like, if someone had told me a couple of years ago that I was as traumatized as anyone else, it wouldn't make much of a difference for me.
Yeah, I understand. Good point, actually.
Yeah, for sure.
So allow them to go through their journey and come to that point on their own.
We just keep each other safe and supported so we can go through our shit.
that. Thank you so much. It was lovely talking to you today.
Yeah, likewise, Ada. Thank you so much for inviting me. It's been a pleasure.
Now it's your turn. Let me know what health and abundance subjects you want me to cover in the future. Do that by commenting on the post on Instagram. Thank you for listening, and thank you so much to Robin for being here with us today. If you liked it, please leave a review at podchaser.com. Just search for the podcast and write a good review. If you have questions or you want to book a session with me, do that on my website, adakomani.no. And if you want to come as a guest on my podcast, please do let me know on Instagram. And remember, you are always creating your health and abundance. What do you choose to create today?